www.ecoalliance.org today.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski declares victory in Alaska. Oh, Joe Miller must be steaming. It's the second time a write-in candidate could actually claim that they won an office that way, especially an office that the likes of the senatorial ranks. So a huge win for Lisa Murkowski, a big surprise, actually, since she initially was beaten by Joe Miller and decided she was going to stand up and fight. And that's a little bit of a blow to the Tea Party. Still, the numbers favor overall on the Hill, House-wise, we know that the House went to the Republicans. And, of course, in the Senate, they picked up some seats, and this is another pickup for the Republicans. Of course, it was going to be, whether it was going to be Miller or whether it was going to be Lisa Murkowski, but it's an interesting tale. And she's pumping her fist, psyched, and said the people were backing her, and Joe Miller not happy about it, saying that a lot of people didn't actually spell her name correctly and the ballot should have been thrown out. In the meantime, the TSA is defending screening measures, saying that they're not going to back off the enhanced pat-downs. Because I am broadcasting live from the Mississippi Gulf Coast area, I flew American Eagle, and I'll tell you my tale. I was at DFW Airport, which is one of our major airports in this country. I think it's the top in the top three airports, certainly very, very busy. But American Eagle, it was a breeze to go through the TSA. You know, basically you did the normal thing you do. They didn't look at anything that I had. They looked at a microphone that was being screened and then just pushed it through. In fact, even arriving, they didn't weigh the luggage, which I was stunned. Usually they weigh the luggage, but they didn't even care about the luggage. They just threw the luggage on. No problem. Nothing to do with a body scanner and nothing to do with a pat down, at least in my case. And I didn't see anyone around me having to deal with that. Of course, American Eagle usually means a short flight, so maybe the procedures are a little bit different. And as I mentioned, we are broadcasting live from Mississippi. We're at the Beau Rivage. We will be at the convention center. I'm talking to the governor and a lot of other folks who were slammed, not just by Katrina, but also by the oil spill, which they're blaming on the media, saying that it was exaggerated, the tales of tar balls on the beach, and it sent people away and killed the tourism industry in Biloxi and along the Gulf Coast because so many people decided to cancel vacation plans. In fact, a conversation with the cab driver coming in, she said it was like a ghost town in the summer months, and it's been really a rough, rough recovery, despite the casinos and some of the other things that they have going on in the area. So we're going to delve more into that in the next couple of days with some of the local politicians and, of course, the governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, as I mentioned. Sarah Palin, speaking of politicians, says she could beat Barack Obama. Now, why did she say that? Well, she was one of the most fascinating people, according to Barbara Walters. So she puts her special together. She makes the top 10, and little snippets of the interview were released. And, of course, America can't seem to get enough of Sarah Palin, whether you – I said this the other day – whether you hate her or like her, there's no gray area with Sarah Palin. So I wanted you to hear a little bit of Palin and some of the answers as far as – running for president, and of course, more on Obama.
I believe so. I believe so because Barack Obama as a candidate had promised America that he desired a fundamental transformation of our country. I'm looking at the lay of the land now and trying to figure that out, if it's a good thing for the country, for the discourse, for my family, if it's a good thing.
All right, so she didn't back off the president deal, but she didn't say that, yeah, I'm definitely going to explore that a little bit further. But she didn't back off of it either. So there are a lot of polls that say she's still in the mix, along with Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich and a slew of other people who would like to run for president on the Republican side of things. In the meantime, it's interesting, George Soros, the billionaire with a B, who has a lot to say about the Democrats because he opens his wallet and he has his friends open their wallets and, of course, spends a lot of money to try to get certain people elected, apparently is saying that he doesn't think Obama's the guy. And that leaked out that he's been talking to people and saying that Barack Obama is not ripe to run for president again to get reelected and make it two terms. What a bombshell that was. Hey, coming up on this hour, so excited, too. I got to make sure that I set the menu up correctly. We have Judith Barr, the ATN head shrinker. A lot of you have written to me and saying, when are you going to have Judith Barr back on? When are we going to talk to Judith Barr? Holidays mean people get lonely, they get loaded, they do stupid things. And Judith Barr has a lot of great advice for many of you listening. Plus, Homer Hickam, you know, the contrails that were off of the California coast that the Pentagon now is saying was an optical illusion, it was a plane. Hickam, who spent a big chunk of his life before he became a Hollywood darling with his books that have now been optioned for movies, was a NASA engineer, and he's going to tell you what he thinks about those contrails. He doesn't really agree, and he gives a pretty good explanation of that. Plus, he's fascinated by dinosaurs. Why not? He's done everything else, and he has a book out about dinosaurs. It's pretty interesting, tracing back the T-Rex and some of what he's been able to find out, not just about the T-Rex, but also in trying to actually uncover one. He's gone out with paleontologists and whatnot, but we're going to let him tell his story. Then we're going to speak, too, with Anne Louise Gittleman, and her story is this. She's a nutritionist in great shape, all about eating the vegetables, doing the walking, and never thought that she would come up with a tumor. She did. Luckily, it was benign, but she says it was because of excessive cell phone use. So she's going to talk about what technology is doing to our bodies and some of the things that she found out in her research, whether it's the cell phone by your bed where you're using it as an alarm or whether you've got routers underneath your bed. What is it that you're doing? Or laptops. How many people have laptops that they just put on their lap? I saw that at the airport, and for men in particular, that is a killer when you have the laptops and you don't have one of those cooling pads underneath it. So we're going to also talk to her, too. Once again, for the next couple of days, I'm broadcasting from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And if you came down to the Gulf Coast, what you would find out, as for me, I've never been to the Gulf Coast, 62 miles of shoreline. How about that? Including the world's longest man-made beach. I didn't realize this either. It's like 26 miles. And the place is really all about the sun, the fun, the beach, the seafood, and the gambling. 24-hour gambling at a slew of casinos. But all of those industries were slammed over the summer because of the oil spill, right when they felt that they had turned a corner after Hurricane Katrina and things were so, so bad. So Kate Delaney, America Tonight, live from Mississippi. Hang through, everybody. Fasten your seatbelts. More to come here on ATN.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America, the holidays are here. I know that sounds kind of bah humbug of me. It just seems like the year slipped away. That's my problem. I still haven't put my summer clothes away. I know for some of you listening, though, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, or whatever holidays you celebrate can be very tough. Turkey equals dealing with buried emotions for some. I know that's a weird analogy, but I've heard that from a couple of my friends. There's a reason why Hollywood has made a fortune on dysfunctional family gatherings, usually around the holidays I just mentioned. The best person I can think of to join us on the show to talk about the blue mood is the ATN head shrinker. She's back. Judith Barr, author of Power Abused, Power Healed. Judith, always nice to have you on the show.
I'm so glad to be with you again, Kate.
First of all, the obvious question in the words of Cher in Moonstruck, remember that movie from the 80s, snap out of it. Why do so many people find it impossible to deal with the holidays?
The holidays are a very emotional time for people, and people think that it's just here and now emotions that are coming up, but it's a time that triggers emotions from our childhood, some of which we may be aware of, and many of which we're totally unconscious of. And that's why it's such an evocative time.
And does it trigger that? Is that what it is? Sometimes it's like, oh, it's almost like that nasty aha moment. Ooh, I forgot that that happened, and somehow it comes up.
I guess for some people it could be that way, but some people just know that they dread the holidays, and some people have an inkling of why they dread them. Some people know a little better, and for some people, it's really unconscious. Let me give you some examples, Kate, some of the things that could be triggered. Maybe somebody, as they approach the holidays and imagine being at a Thanksgiving or a Christmas or a Hanukkah dinner, start to feel really, really angry. And again, they might be conscious of why or not conscious of why, but maybe what they're angry about is how they were treated as children in their family of origin. And maybe they're still treated that way by their family, or maybe they go to some other family's house, maybe their spouse's house or a friend's house, and it's still triggered. And that this experience perhaps of not being seen, not being respected, or not being supported to be their unique selves, and that could come up. Or maybe they approach the holidays with huge, deep grief. And you know, each time we have a loss, it triggers all the losses before it, especially the losses that haven't been grieved and worked through. So maybe they have grief over losses that began long ago when they were children that have accumulated over time because they weren't grieved. Maybe they were abandoned by a parent, maybe through emotional leaving, or maybe the parent died, or maybe there was a divorce. And it's amazing how a supposedly festive celebratory time can trigger grief. And I think the fact that people are sort of expected to be happy during the holidays adds to that and feeds that. Or maybe a person approaches it with dread and panic. And maybe in the holidays or even just family dinners when they were children were frightening. Maybe their father drank. And at dinner or at holiday dinners, you never knew what kind of harm he would do as he got drunker and drunker. Maybe he did harm to your mother or to other siblings or to you or to property in the house. And so being with your family or even any family or even a group of people could trigger that without your knowing it even, that that's what was getting triggered. Or maybe just longing for a bond. You know, people think of the holidays as a family time, as bonded time. Maybe when you were a child, you didn't have a really secure bond with anybody, or maybe you had a bond that got ruptured by death or divorce. And so when the holidays come, that longing that you don't even know what to do about it, you don't have any idea how to heal it, and maybe you don't even realize it's from the past. Maybe it just feels like a current longing. And that gets stirred up, and it can make you very sad as you long for something that you didn't have and don't have and haven't figured out a way to resolve.
Yeah. What do you recommend people do? I know this is a wide open question. Is there a temporary shortcut to get through it? Because if they decide that, oh, I think I need to have therapy and maybe I can open up some of these locked doors, but it's too late. Now it's, you know, we're into Hanukkah. Or we're into Christmas, and I can't do it on the fly. What do you recommend people do to try to get through it?
Well, I don't recommend a shortcut, and I'm glad you are acknowledging that people might need to get into therapy. But I think what people can start to do as they approach the holidays, and I'm so glad we're doing this tonight because it's like a week plus away from Thanksgiving, so there is time for people to start, is to ask themselves the question, what is here and now feeling, and what is from the past? Because if we don't ask that question, the past feelings get all entangled and enmeshed with the here and now, and we think we're reacting to something in the here and now from a here and now self, but it's really the child in us that was wounded that hasn't resolved it that's reacting. So if you have intense feelings as you're going into the holidays, start to wonder, when did I have these feelings before? What are they from in my childhood? What are the memories I have that could stir these feelings? And just keep asking that question. And when you go to wherever you're going for the holidays, just keep holding that question and saying, all right, this is today, and what's getting triggered in me is from long, long ago.
That's great advice, obviously from a woman who knows how to help people. But you've been a therapist for a while. Does it feel like, and maybe I'm just seeing this from a different perspective, but does it feel like people are feeling, I don't know, more blue these days? Is it the world that we live in? What is it?
I think there's a lot that's opened up out in consciousness in our world that is painful. And I think it's stirring up all of people's early experiences with similar kinds of pain, like with the economy and the recession and people being afraid and people feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to have enough, and thinking it's all about today, but it's really triggering those same kinds of feelings from childhood. And if I could say anything to the people that are listening it tonight, it would be exactly what I suggested you do about the holidays. I suggest you do about anything else you're feeling intensely, about the economy. Do your work with your relationship with money that's rooted in your childhood, probably about something that has nothing to do with money. If you're afraid of the terrorism in our world, do the work for yourself about the terror you felt as a child, because as we tease away the feelings from the past, we can make much better decisions and choices about what we really need to do here and now, because we've removed what's from the past that's interfering with it and covering it over and making it very difficult to be a grown-up making conscious decisions.
Yeah, and we talk about this every time you come on. It really does go back, and we can hear the familiar thread in this conversation. It really does go back to those childhood years, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does, Kate.
Yeah, I think people, and you would know better than I would, Judith, but I think people don't want to believe that. I think they want to just think it's something, as you mentioned, that's being triggered by something around them now.
Sadly, I think that's true. I think people want to think it's just a here and now thing, and if they do something in their outer world, whatever it is, they can fix it. They can get a quick fix, and then they're very disappointed or even feel desperate when the fix wears off, if it even takes in the first place, and they don't know what to do next. But the thing to do next is to really start believing that this has to do with something from your childhood. That is the only way we're going to heal ourselves individually. That's the only way we're going to heal our world.
Yeah, is to do the work. Like you said, there really are no...
If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri. Like a mini face. If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri. Like a mini facelift, only without needles or surgery, Vizuri is a revolutionary youth rejuvenation skincare system that's proven to work for your money back. Vizuri is all natural and chemical and preservative free. It helps reverse damage to complexions as a result of aging, stress, lifestyle, and pollution. Vizuri reduces skin pore size, firms, lifts, and tightens, leaving you with soft, silky, shiny skin and looking years younger. You may have seen Vizuri reviewed by CBS TV News. Now see how Vizuri is helping men and women get a fountain of youth facelift at avatarfacial.com and click on CBS TV News to see video of the amazing Vizuri skincare system. Call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278 or go to avatarfacial.com, spelled A-V-A-T-A-R facial.com, and click on CBS TV News. Vizuri, the fountain of youth facelift.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now, for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and cross food off your to-do list.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Okay, I want to address the skeptics listening to talk radio. You hear multiple commercials on products that make you feel better and help you lose weight, but you don't believe it. Companies come and go. Well, people, I understand. You really are desiring a product that works, but you're tired of getting burned with substandard quality, gimmicks, and 3 to 6 month get involved contracts. Life Change Tea is different. I speak for Life Change Tea because I lost 25 pounds, lowered my blood pressure and blood sugar levels. I sleep well at night knowing Life Change Tea customers receive a real product that works, customer service, and customer satisfaction. So here's my spiel. Test us, try us, and receive results. And if you don't try us, that's okay. And if you do, you'll be a happy tea customer getting healthy. So order now. Call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. In my opinion, you won't be sorry.
Seriously wonder what the hazards might be of using laptops, cell phones, and all kinds of Wi-Fi. I have so much Wi-Fi in my house, it's ridiculous. And all the techno devices, let's face it, that no one can seem to live without. Our next guest, sadly, doesn't have to wonder. She has a story to tell that's a cautionary story, I think, for many listening. She's the author of Zapped, really groundbreaking stuff on the invisible hazards of electromagnetic exposure. A pleasure to welcome Anne Louise Gittleman from our virtual green room. Anne Louise, thanks for spending time with us. First off, tell the audience what happened to you after an enormous amount of cell phone use.
Yes, and now I'm a cell phone user in recovery now, Kate. I had a mystery that happened to me, a very mysterious occurrence, and that was I developed a benign, thank God, parotid gland tumor, this growth that was just something that my doctors didn't know anything about, and I had it removed in 2005. I then learned in 2008 there was some interesting research that was done by some Israeli researchers that suggested that individuals that had very heavy-duty cell phone use had a greater occurrence of having a parotid gland tumor on the side of the head that they were consistently holding their cell phone against. And this is exactly what happened to me, and apparently these are growths that are becoming, unfortunately, much more common. We're finding people that are having growths on their necks, on their, in their brains, and with me this was a salivary gland tumor.
Wow. Were you just stunned when you heard the diagnosis?
I was stunned because I didn't know why I should be the one that would have a parotid gland tumor. Yeah, I mean, I'm a nutritionist. I actually have written 30 other diet books and health books, and I really do walk the walk and talk the talk. So apparently these are growths that are becoming very common, as well as a myriad of symptoms, might I add, that are equally bizarre and weird with people that are going shopping that find that they're very confused, they get headaches, dizziness, numbness, tremors. And there was a recent study that was published in Fertility that suggests that individuals, particularly men, that use their laptop a great deal on their laps can be cooking their testicles. So regardless of where you're holding one of these mini microwave ovens, you could be affecting your brain, God forbid your testicles. Certainly sperm count, we know, is also connected. And just think of all the women that are using their cell phones and just tucking them neatly into their bras.
Oh, and you know, people just don't want to hear this either. They just don't want to hear you. And you have, like you said, you walk the walk and talk the talk. You do it all. And so for this to happen to you. So you said it was benign. That's the great news. So you're doing well then, I take it.
Oh, yes. It was removed years ago. And it was years after when I found out what the cause of the problem was, which was my unmitigated cell phone use. Being on the road, I was using it quite a lot. Mm. But I later learned when I started delving into the research of Zapped that it isn't just cell phones. Interestingly enough, it's actually your cordless phone that can be emitting more of this potentially toxic microwave radiation than even the cell phone. So if you're going to do anything, Kate, it's really get rid of that cordless phone because that's emanating 24/7 in terms of these microwaves.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants proof. You know that as a nutritionist. They want proof that what they're doing to themselves is harmful by constantly using these different devices we've been talking about. So far, can you point to anything that's come out of the medical community or as far as any research? Because I know it's still fairly new as far as proof of the dangers.
Well, I think what is not coming out is a lot of the suppressed evidence. You know, for years we used to think that smoking was safe and long-term HRT, you know, as well as tanning beds. And I think we're going to find the same public health awareness in terms of all the electro pollution that's emanating from these devices. Quite honestly, there was a very, very impressive study that looked at 2,000 peer-reviewed reports, and this came out in 2007 called the Bioinitiative Report, and that found that there was a considerable, I will say, connection between all of the gadgets that we can't live without and the increased risk of Alzheimer's, breast cancer, Lou Gehrig's, EMF, immune system hypersensitivity, and disruption of our DNA and brain function. And this is a 650-page document with these 2,000 peer-reviewed studies. So I would say that there's a lot of evidence out there. We're just not hearing about it because it's a big, big business when you consider how much money the government makes in terms of taxes on cell phone minutes and the fact that we've got 20 telecommunications companies out there and they're making over $1 trillion a year.
Yeah, no kidding. Although, what do you make of this? How about San Francisco? You think of San Jose, San Francisco. It's actually, somebody told me it was the first city to have an ordinance on the books that tells the retailers, requires them actually, that they've got to tell the consumers about the radiation levels of the phones when they sell them to them, when they're selling them the phones, are supposed to let them know about that, wink, wink. And I don't know how many do it, but it is an ordinance. I was kind of surprised to learn that. Were you?
Well, I say congratulations to the mayor that made this happen. And quite frankly, I think this should be kind of a consensual thing that should be out there for everybody. In other words, I think as consumers, we need to have better informed consent because right now, so many of us are just hugging the cell phone so close to our heads rather than texting, for example, or holding it at least 1 to 2 inches, preferably even 7 to 8 inches away from our brains. And we're just not aware of any of the problems because we feel very secure seeing everybody else around us using the cell phone, you know, as if nothing is happening. So I think there's this false sense of security that many of us start to feel. But when you start doing the research and reading the studies the way I do, you start to realize that there is considerable evidence as far back as 1975 that talks about breaching of the blood-brain barrier, problems in terms of the actual structure and repair of the DNA, and the fact that the cell membranes virtually become unglued, which means that they start to lose calcium. And we believe that may be the reason that people suffer from disorientation, confusion, allergies, and a lot of brain fog when they're consistently using cell phones or other microwave devices and perhaps you're not connecting the dots.
Yeah, there you go. In Zapped, you talk about this. You talk about some of the things, some solutions of how you can reduce your exposure. Tell, for the benefit of the audience listening that probably right now is they're walking away from their cell phones, tell them what they can do to help themselves and limit that exposure.
Well, I think what we have to do is really get rid of that cordless phone. That's really going to be emitting the radio frequency radiation 24/7. Just get an old-fashioned landline phone because it is 100 times more toxic, according to the European researchers, than your cell phone. So having said that, goodbye to the cordless phones. Then in terms of your own cell phone, I think if you get a little headset, and the best ones are those plastic air tube headsets that are on the market these days, that certainly is much safer. And try not to use your cell phone while you're driving. I mean, it's not just that we become a little, you know, disoriented or distracted, but there are 45 countries that do ban cell phone use while driving for good reason. Because when you're in any kind of vehicle, you know, that's metallic, it's going to concentrate the radiation that's bouncing around within that little metal vehicle. So as you can see, there are problems then in terms of using that cell phone while you're driving or in an elevator for that matter. I mean, if you must use your cell phone at all, try to do it when the car is not in motion. You know, go into some sort of parking lot, check your messages, roll down the window if you have to, and that's what I think could help us immensely. And try to turn off your cell phone at night. Don't use it as an alarm clock. That's a big deal.
Oh, and I was using it as an alarm clock when I was on the road a lot. You know, I had one of those Apple iPhones, and I think a lot of people do use it that way, or they nod off, and they have it. So there you go. That's a good suggestion there. Also, you talk about something I thought was really fascinating, that you can actually give your home an electronic makeover, and you can do that by just moving some furniture around and some of the appliances, right?
Oh, you're talking about the electronic feng shui.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you do that in terms of creating a lower EMF environment. So you have to think about proximity, duration of exposure, and location, location, location. So because the bedroom is where you're going to be spending at least a third of your life, try to remove as many electrical appliances as possible from the bedrooms. That might be your electric blanket, your waterbed heater. Maybe unplug the TV. Certainly make sure that if you've got a digital alarm clock, it's not within, I'd say, 3 to 4 feet of your head. So those are easy things, Kate, that just about anybody can do. That's just a little bit of common sense. And don't have that wireless router underneath your bed. When you start to remove it, you'll see that you'll sleep through the night. Make sure that your kids' rooms are electrically free, as well as digitally free. And in fact, if you're living in an apartment and your refrigerator is at the other side of the wall where somebody is resting their head, that's where the bed is, then you're going to want to make sure to move the bed at least 2 to 3 feet from the wall, which is going to have that refrigerator on the other side. Because that also emits, it's not a microwave field, but a large electrical and magnetic field. So there are lots of things that this book talks to you about, and I think it's empowering because there's a lot we can do before it's too late. Because we know that sometimes in terms of tumors, it takes at least 10 years for these things to show up. And we see a lot of young people in this day and time that have the brain tumors, problems with leukemia, and I think it's all tied to electricity.
Yeah, I just want you to know right now I'm going to go and move my refrigerator. I'm going to go put it in the garage.
A good place for it.
I'm going to go and move all the clocks and everything. I'm doing the feng shui, definitely. And I'm redoing my house. Anne Louise Gittleman, it's always fun to have you on the show. This time we're talking about Zapped. Go and pick it up so you can be informed and you don't risk that exposure to these hazards that so many of us don't want to have happen to us. We don't want to get in that fog. The electromagnetic exposure can be deadly, obviously. We don't know the long-term effects probably down the road. They'll tell us something else. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. And get zapped so you don't get zapped.
There you go.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I always say you never know where the show is going to take you. This next guest embodies that, I swear. What doesn't Homer Hickam know? That's the question. Science. You know I'm a NASA freak. He was a former NASA engineer. We've talked to him about mining. He knows about mining, for goodness sake. He wrote a book that turned into a movie, and we know we've talked about it. And now dinosaurs. His newest book is all about the T-Rex, what happened 65 million years ago. It's called The Dinosaur Hunter. Always fun to have Homer on the show. Homer, thanks for taking out some time, carving it out for us here on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, it's always fun to be on your show, Kate. I really do appreciate you having me.
Why dinosaurs? Did you secretly also want to be a paleontologist?
Well, I grew up in West Virginia, so I guess I know one rock from the other. But
there you go.
Quick story. The director of October Sky, Joe Johnston, actually directed Jurassic Park 3. And I was at his house, and he showed me some dinosaur bones that he was going out to Montana to research the movie. And the famous paleontologist, Dr. John Jack Horner, Michael Crichton modeled his paleontologist in Jurassic Park after old Jack. He was going out to work with Jack and research the movie. And I said, "Can I go?" He said, "No, it's going to be closed, Homer. Just me and Jack." And I said, "Can I go?" And I said, "Can I go enough?" But he finally gave in. And I did. I went out to Montana, and three things happened. First, this is eastern Montana in dinosaur land, if you will, the prairies, the ranch lands, the badlands out there. I fell in love, absolutely fell in love with dinosaur bone hunting. I found out I was actually really good at it, had a good eye for it. And the second thing that happened was I just absolutely fell in love with that land out there, the beautiful big sky country of Montana. But, you know, the really neat thing is I discovered a people that I don't think too many people in the States and the world really know about, people who are actually living the pioneer life or living the 19th century cowboy life. They've got pickup trucks, they've got four-wheelers, but they're still out there very much up against the raw frontier, and I very much fell in love with those people and knew somewhere along the line I'd want to write a book about them, about dinosaur hunting, and about the Big Sky Country. So that's what The Dinosaur Hunter is. It's a novel, it's fiction, but it brings all those elements together.
And you know that people are, as kids too, not just kids, but all the way up to all the rest of us in our adult years, we are fascinated about dinosaurs. There is something about wanting to know. There is something about the bones, isn't there?
Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, the first time I ever found a dinosaur bone, I was just, it was like Dr. Horner was saying, Homer, you realize this is not a real fossil. This is the actual bone. It's been eroded out after 65 million years, and I'm holding this thing that was once inside this huge creature. And I said, you know, I've really got to know more. And so I said, Jack, what are you looking for? What's the holy grail of paleontology right now? And he said, Homer, find me a baby T-Rex. And so for the last 12 summers, I've spent part of every summer for 12 years out there looking for a baby T-Rex for Jack. And 3 years ago, I came very close. I found a juvenile, very, very rare juvenile T-Rex that Jack called the H-Rex. And I think we're circling it. I think we're very, very close to finding a baby. And so what? There are just very few, even just partial skeletons of babies ever found. And we're curious as to why that is. And the theory that we're coming up with is, why no baby T-Rexes? Because Mama T-Rex was a really good mother, and she raised them to maturity. And so, but if we can find one, if we can find a nest, oh, it's going to be something. And that's the subplot of The Dinosaur Hunter. A paleontologist comes to Ranchlands, Montana, looking for a baby T-Rex. It's told by a new character of mine, Mike Wire, an ex-LAPD cop, gone out to eastern Montana to become a cowboy. Next thing you know, murder, mayhem, all kinds of things are cropping up. But he gets involved with hunting for this baby T also. So it was a lot of fun to write. I hope folks will like it.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think people would be surprised to learn about the T-Rex that you found out through all this, obviously, research that you've done?
One of the amazing things that I found was I was there when we found an adult T-Rex, and we were looking at its leg bones, and it was clear that it had a healed, broken major leg bone, a tibia. And with a broken tibia, the T-Rex could not possibly hunt. So something fed this animal while it was not able to move. And you can, you know, we don't know, but you have to extrapolate and say this probably they lived in families that took care of each other. Something brought this animal something to eat. And to me, that just absolutely blew me away and made me start thinking about these animals in a whole different way, that they were very social, that they probably lived like lion, you know, lion prides, taking care of their family. And after a while, you just start to respect these animals, and you're digging them up. And a lot of times, the grad students will give the dinosaur a name, and they actually cry when they find that it died a violent death. And you know, that's 65 million years ago. This animal, 65 million years old.
Wow.
And we care about it.
Man, no kidding. Just out of curiosity, I wonder, in all your travels, because you've been everywhere, but I had the chance to go to the, and this isn't T-Rex territory, but I had a chance to go to the La Brea Tar Pits. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's rather recent compared to the Cretaceous, but
yeah.
That is still, I mean, that's your saber-toothed tigers and your cave bears and all that. Yeah, that's amazing that those animals have been so, you know, very well preserved and just remarkable.
I think so, too.
And you know, everybody, we're just fascinated by these animals.
I know. What I'm really fascinated by, and since you have dealings with Hollywood, you've got all kinds of things optioned out there. Isn't it funny that those tar pits are underneath Beverly Hills?
Well, you know, there are a bunch of old dinosaurs wandering around out there that probably fall in those pits, and I may be one of them. I don't know.
Oh, too funny. We have to ask you about this, Homer, too.
Okay.
And the book, too. Pick it up, everybody. Dinosaur Hunter. It's just flying off the shelves. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can go there. Books a Million, Borders, anywhere you can pick it up. But the contrails off of the California coast. Oh, we had so many people swearing it was a conspiracy and it was a missile and it was, oh, who knows what it was. And I used to cover Vandenberg Air Force Base, and I said, it can't be from Vandenberg. What did you make of it?
You know, I may be one of those that was swearing it was a conspiracy. Because people were asking me, and I was about to go on book tour, and I was kind of distracted, and so they showed me the raw footage and said, what is that? What do you think that is, Homer? And I said, well, there's no question. That's a submarine launched ballistic missile. I mean, look at it. You can see, you can even see it where it stages, and, or at least from a sea platform, then the next thing we know, the Department of Defense and other respected scientists and meteorologists saying, no, this is an optical illusion. And I have a very good friend who's a meteorologist, and he's taken the time to he believes that it is an optical illusion. If it is, it is the most amazing optical illusion I have ever seen. Yeah, everything had to be absolutely perfect for a jet liner, for you to be able to see a jet liner rise up from the horizon. I've never seen anything like that before, and then come streaking across the sky, just putting out all of this volume of smoke, which is, you know, basically a contrail means a condensate trail. That's water vapor. It doesn't usually last very long. This hung up in the sky. So I can be convinced, but at the same time, I tell you, Kate, I'm still a little bit skeptical about the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy, too. I agree with you. And you have a better eye than I do with your background. But looking at it, I thought, how can they really say this is from a plane? It does not look like that to me.
I've seen a lot of rocket launches, and immediately, if nobody had ever said anything more about it, I'd said, oh yeah, they're testing a submarine launched ballistic missile out there, and maybe they launched it a little bit too close, and we all saw it, and that kind of thing. But like I say, they've come out with their denials, and they are plausible, barely, that it is an optical illusion. So I guess I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. One thing, Kate, when something like that happens, a lot of people start looking up at the sky where they don't ordinarily. So I think over in New York, they also saw a strange plume in the sky immediately after that. Most of us in the day, when we stop to think about it, we rarely look up because we don't feel any threat in that direction. You know, we're looking down to see where we're stepping. We're looking through the windshield to see where we're going. Or we're inside the building. We're watching TV. We're not paying that much attention to the sky. And when we start looking up, quite often, we see some what we consider abnormal things that may be going on up there all the time with the cloud formations, the moisture, the sun creating, you know, sunspots, this kind of thing, or circles around the sun, and also even the moon. Those are called sun dogs and moon dogs.
Sure.
There are a lot of weird things that are up there that we ordinarily don't look until something weird happens, and next thing you know, we're all looking up there and we're seeing a lot of strange things.
Yeah, I agree with you. Homer Hickam, always a pleasure. The Dinosaur Hunter, good luck, and thanks for the time.
Well, thank you, Kate. Always a pleasure.